Welcome to our Sunday message, Sunday the 20th of July 2025. We read two scriptures, one from the Old Testament, Genesis 1, chapter 26 to 28, and then we'll go to the New Testament. But first, let's read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Let's flip over to the New Testament and go to Paul's letter to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading from verse 24 through to 30. That's Philippians chapter 2, 24 to 30. "But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me." Heavenly Father, yet again we thank you for your precious word. May this word be found in us. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher, we yield to you and ask you to burn these words in our hearts. Anoint us as we speak, anoint us as we hear. Inspire us to perceive and to put into practice for the sake of his mighty kingdom. We ask this in the mighty name of the Lord Yeshua. Amen. The title of this message is Team Effort. Team effort. It's instructive to see that at the very beginning, God, in his formulation of the earth, creation as it were, operated as a team. In Proverbs, we learned about the work of the Holy Spirit in this whole process. But when God wanted to put man on the earth, this was the discussion. Let us make man in our own image, our very own image. The point I'm trying to make here is that, you see, God from the very beginning worked as a team. The Godhead operated as a team, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this pattern, we need to understand it and work within its parameters, as it were. Now notice once again in this creation narrative, God made man. But that wasn't enough. For his purposes, he had to make woman. First he created him, and then he created them. And the whole idea is that they would operate as a team, together with him, in subjugating the earth, bringing it into the place God wanted it to be. The theme here is that God operates with a team. It's not an individual. When we look at the New Testament, and we have Paul writing this letter to the Philippians, we find some very interesting statements that he makes. I've always been impressed by this character, Epaphroditus, one of the unsung heroes of the Bible. Not a Paul, not a David, not a Saul, not a Peter, not a Joshua. Just a simple worker. And if you read between the lines, this individual was highly regarded, obviously, in his home church, Philippi, to the extent that they trusted him with a whole lot of money, a gift that they wanted him to take to Paul. In those days, it wasn't a case of transfer by internet, not at all. One had to take that money along many roads, over many mountains, across seas, dangers from robbers, etc. But they trusted this man to do that, and he did it. But what's interesting is Epaphroditus arrived on the scene in Rome to discover Paul doing the best he could under the circumstances. And the plan was that obviously he would just deliver the money and then say hello, give the greetings, and go back. However, that was not the nature of Epaphroditus. Clearly what happened here is he saw that Paul was struggling. He realized that the gift that the Philippian church had sent, although it would have helped a lot, wasn't enough. There was need for more. And so instead of just saying, oh well, let Paul sort it out or the other churches, no, Epaphroditus got to work. What work he did, we don't know. But the point of all his work was to provide what Paul needed. He saw the need and he tried to meet it. Obviously, this man had a very clear understanding of the whole concept of team effort. He realized Paul, as significant as he was, as great a teacher as he was, would not make it left unattended. He needed help. The team needed help, and he was available. You see, and then we notice that Paul recognized this, and we look at the way he refers to Epaphroditus. First of all, my brother. Notice there's no title here. He didn't say, your elder, or one of your ministers. No, he said, my brother. A relationship. Not my disciple, not somebody that I look down on. No, my brother. And then he says something very interesting. Fellow worker. Fellow worker. And fellow soldier. But your messenger. Can we see that? He recognized that Epaphroditus was helping him with the task, with the work that needed to be done, with the fight that needed to be fought. And the man was available. He recognized the importance of the kingdom of heaven on the earth. And because of his sacrificial efforts, he almost died with the effort that he had to put in. At the end of the day, he was entrusted with this very letter that we read and has been read throughout the centuries and has been a great blessing to the body of Christ. A simple man with an understanding that things need to be done and we need to all do it together. We as children of God need to understand this. You see, when God made man and woman, he didn't put them on this earth to compete, to battle for control in marriage or in the workplace. No, he designed them specifically to cooperate, to operate as a team. He placed in the man certain abilities and certain inabilities. Likewise with the woman. The one was designed to complement the other. And if one of the parties doesn't come to the table, then the purposes of God would have been frustrated. It takes team effort to multiply, as we all know. A woman cannot get pregnant on her own, and a man cannot carry a child. Once again, the plan of God is for them to operate as a team, not only in the process of procreation, but in everything, in achieving the purposes of God. When we look at the church, how did God design it? You look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Not one gift was designed to operate on its own. Paul describes the whole function of the church. When you come together, everybody has something, and all those things are designed to work together. We talk of the miracles of healing. They need to go together with the gift of faith. One has the gift of faith, but the other one has the gift of healing. God designed it that way, so that nobody could take the glory. Only the Holy Spirit could be commended. One has a prophecy, the other one has an interpretation. That's how it was designed. On purpose, you see, for the church to grasp something, we have to operate as a team. And one wonders if this is not the reason why in the body of Christ we haven't seen as many miracles and healings as perhaps God wants us to have. But you see, we need to understand this. You and I are part of a team. Our society promotes this very individualistic idea. I did it my way. I did it all on my own. Look at me. And not to underestimate personal effort and sacrifice by any means. And you and I need to be dedicated to what we have to do. And one admires people who have achieved success in whatever form. But the greatest pleasure in life is not just to achieve on our own. It can actually be a very empty thing. You think of great sporting events where a team achieves great victories. Afterwards, there's always a party of some description, a celebration. And the joy of that celebration is the fact that we as a team have done this together. And as a person who on the odd occasion watches some sport, not fanatic by any means, but I enjoy watching a group of people in whatever discipline operating as a team. The one is there at the right time to help the other, and in turn positioned to help someone else. In turn, positioned to put that ball in just the right place so at the end of the chain, as it were, somebody crosses the line and scores the try. It's a team effort. Great success in any endeavor demands working as a team. Any successful business achieves success not because of one person's efforts, but because of that person and the founders, as it were, their ability to create around them a successful, functioning team. You and I can achieve far more working with others than we can ever do on our own. Now, most of us understand that, and it's worth repeating, obviously, because it's something we need to continually remind ourselves about. But there's another dimension to this that the Lord explained to me, if I can put it that way, the other day. I make a habit on a regular basis of committing my ministry, my work to the Lord. My wife and I, when we pray in the mornings, we commit our day to the Lord. The spirit behind that is, Heavenly Father, I'm laying down my life for you. One morning I was going through this ritual, you might call it, and it is scriptural. The word is full of you and I laying down our lives for the Lord and for one another. We know the scripture, well done, good and faithful servant. And I went through this whole rigmarole, very sort of religiously, I suppose, but honestly, I was saying, Lord, I'm putting my life in your hands. I want to serve you. Anyway, once I'd finished this long dissertation, I sensed in my spirit an uneasy quietness. And I've come to learn that when I sense that uneasy quietness from the Lord's side, there's something missing. There's like a vacuum. I'm missing it in some respect. And so I waited a bit longer, and I tried to pick up what it is that was, in a sense, coming between us. After a while, I began to realize that though the dedication was genuine and heartfelt and precious to God, no doubt, always has been and always will be, what was missing was this understanding that I was trying to do it all on my own. I was laying down my life for the Lord. Once again, a commendable thing to do. But I suddenly realized what it was that he was trying to impress on me. You see, in the same way as you and I derive pleasure out of doing things with other people, and we have the joy of that collective achievement, what the Lord was really looking for from me was an understanding of this teamwork. He was not asking me to continually say, "Oh Lord, what can I do for you?" In his heart, he was longing for me to say, rather, "Heavenly Father, what can we do together? What can we do as a team together?" That brought great peace to my soul. And I began to realize how the Lord on this earth, yes, we know that he was very disciplined and would often go and pray. And sometimes we look at that as like, well, we need to pray. And we do. But we can miss something, I believe. He did pray often, even when he was tired, yes. But it wasn't a chore for him. It was a joy. And you can see why. He loved to spend time with his Father. He didn't have to say to him, "I'm laying down my life," because he knew very well at the end of this whole sojourn on the earth, he would have to lay down his life. But what was he doing? He was picking up from the Father what needs to be done today. What we can do to fulfill this purpose on the earth together. Together with the Holy Spirit. And very often we find instances where that prayer, as it were, carried him through. When he faced situations that there was no way around in the natural, what did he have recourse to? "Heavenly Father, how do we combat this one?" And so I just want to leave this thought with us in this short teaching. It's good to lay our lives down for the Lord, and we can always lay more of our lives down, as it were. God's pleased with that sacrifice. He's pleased with it. But there's another dimension here. There's another dimension that brings, how shall I say, peace, joy, and ultimately great power. When we have a relationship with God, we enjoy his presence, we've established our connection with him as our Heavenly Father, we're in a position now to ask him questions like, not "what can I do for you," but rather, "Father God, what are we going to do together?" And you see, as we spend time picking up from the Father what we can do together, it makes whatever we face possible. It empowers us. We know that God has commissioned us to work with him. And you see, we know that once he commissions us to work with him, he makes everything that we need available. The Holy Spirit is there to work with us. Can you see? You and I, fellow workers, the Holy Spirit, the Lord himself, God the Father, all of us, working together, team effort, we become very powerful people. Not just individuals, but people, but an organization that is supreme, cooperating together. That's why the Lord said, "Love one another." You see, this cooperation is not possible without mutual respect. Paul speaking about a relatively unknown personality in the church at large, Paul the great apostle, not lording it over him like the Pope. No, to my brother, my fellow worker, let's get the job done together. If you and I can just pick up the spirit of this thing, and the body of Christ, you see, becomes an organization that no longer has to compete one with another. My church bigger than your church, my ministry more profound than your ministry, my revelation greater than yours. No, forget about all of that. Let's get the job done together. What I have is available for you to use. What you have, I need. Building the kingdom of heaven as a team with Father God, as it were, the manager, and King Yeshua, our coach, and the Holy Spirit, our mentor. I pray that you and I will understand these things and allow this dimension, as it were, to permeate our service to the living God. Allow it to bring the joy and the peace and the power that it was intended to bring. Let's look at our Heavenly Father, embrace his love, enjoy his instruction, and let's work together with the King of Kings for the sake of his kingdom. In Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.